Okay, good morning, everybody. Nice to see you. And we're going to be on page Kuf Yud Zion in the handout. Kuf Yud Zion. The shiur is sponsored by Esther Weiner in the Zuchus of the Refuah Shalema for Esther Bas Charna Basok Shar Chola Yisrael. And this is going to be on page 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth page of the photocopy, Kuf Yud Zayin, and it says letter Beis, and right in the middle of the page. And just a little recap is that the Rambam has spoken to us originally about the different views of different people regarding what Olam Haba is, and which he did not agree with. Then he went on to a pretty extensive description of what it means to serve Hashem Lishma and to try to develop that Lishma attitude in what we're doing, and it takes a long time to do that. And now he's going to be talking about different views of the words of the Chachamim, which certain people have. The first two will be incorrect views of the Chachamim, and the third one will be a correct view. So again, letter Beis there in the middle of the page, Kuf Yud Zayin. L'mimasha ata tzorich l'da'as. And that which we must know is, ki benogea l'divrei Chachamim. In regards to the words of our Chachamim, zichronam livracha, nechleku b'nei adam l'sholosh kitos. People are divided into three different groups. Harishona v'hirov masha ra'isi v'asher ra'isi chiburav. The first group, which is the majority of what I have seen, and I have also seen their compositions, their books. U'masha shamati alav. Now flipping to the next page, Kuf Yud Ches. And that which I have heard about them. Hey ma'aminim osam apshatan. They believe in the words of the Chachamim and that they are exactly lefi hapshat, what they mean. In other words, the literal translation of the words of our Chachamim, we're talking about things like Agadata now and Midrash. We're not talking about halachic topics where literal is extremely important. But he's saying, they understand the words of the Chachamim in a way which is very simple and exact. Ve'ein sovrim bohen perush nistar b'shum panim. And they don't understand and they don't think that there's anything hidden more deeply within those words. They take the words at face value and that's it. V'hanimna'os kulan hein etzlam mechuyavos hametzius. And all the things which simply cannot be, meaning they're impossible, they believe that they must be. In other words, the Rambam's word for impossible is nimna, means withheld, literally. So he says there are things that are impossible to be. You can observe with your own eyes, it could never be, it's impossible. And the Chachamim sometimes, in their language of Midrash or Agadita, they'll say something which literally is impossible. And it's meant to have a deeper meaning. But these people are very simple, and they understand the words of the Chachamim completely at their face value. So I'll give you two examples. This is Moshe Rabbeinu, was 10 amos tall, it's about 20 feet. He jumped 10 amos. He had a stick that was 10 amos high, and he hit Og on the ankle and he killed him. Now, he did kill Og, that we know. But all of that is not possible. People don't grow to be 20 feet, they don't jump 20 feet, they don't have a stick 20 feet, oh, they could have a stick 20 feet, and hit somebody on the ankle. That would mean that that person is like as tall as the Empire State Building, something like that, Og. So, that's not possible. Or another example, Avram Avinu, the Chachamim say, had a gem right by his neck. And at the end of his life, he took the gem and he hung it up on the sun. That's what the Chachamim say. All right, so what does that mean? Okay, we have to understand what that means. But it doesn't mean literally he took that gem and went up on the sun and hung it there like a necklace. Doesn't mean that. It means that conceptually, but it doesn't mean that literally. So the Rambam is saying that these people think that the nimnaos, things which are truly not possible, they think that they are exactly as they're written, and not only are they possible, but you better believe them. You better believe that Avraham Avinu went and hung up that gem on the stone, because that's what the Chachamim say. Va'amnam osin kane. So why do they do this? Lefi shelo hevinu ha-chachmas. They don't understand wisdom. This group of people, they don't understand wisdom. Vehem rechoki min ha-tavunos. And they're very distant from logic, inference, deduction, thinking about something hidden within something that's revealed, deeper meanings. Ve'en bohem min hashlemus. They're not whole, they're not complete in their intellect, in their intelligence. Kidei she'yisoberu me'aleihem. Because if they were whole, they would be alert to the fact that there's deeper meanings in these words. Ve'lo matzu ma'oro she'yoro osam. And they also never found somebody to make them alert. They're simply not able to hear the concept of something deeper going on. The Sovrim, and they think, Shalokivnu ha-chachamim zichronam livracha, that the Chachamim never had anything in mind, b'chol divreihem ha-yishorim v'ha-metukanim, in all of their upright and excellent words, elama shehem hevinu heim lefi da'ata mehem. They think that the Chachamim mean what these people think. So in the way my Rebbe used to say it is that they're putting their head on their shoulders. So once happened that a person wrote a book about a tzaddik, a big Rebbe, and I think he was one of the ancestors of Rabbi Twersky, and someone asked him for a haskama on the book about his Zeta. So he said he wouldn't do it. And he asked him, why? Why he wouldn't do that? He said, you're putting your head on his shoulders. You think you can understand this person, explain him, talk about his life, but his, you know, you have no right to do that. So these people are simple-minded, they don't think deeply, and whatever they think, that's what they think the Chachamim think. So they're belittling the minds and the intelligence of the Chachamim that they can't be thinking anything more than I personally know. So the Rambam, of course, is being quite critical of this group. So they understand the words of the Chachamim only according to their own intelligence, the Shehem al Peshutan, and that the words of the Chachamim are taken exactly at face value. V'afal pi shehanira miksas divrehem yesh mehem min hadiba v'harichuk min hasecha. Even though that if you look at this point of view, It certainly appears from some of the words of the Chachamim that they're absurd and even derogatory, that people would think such ridiculous things, and that they're rachok min haseichel, that they're very far away from actual intelligence. Ad she'ilu supar al peshuto la'amei ha'oretz, that if you would say such simple things, even to uneducated people, kol she'kein le'chachamim, and certainly to educated, wise people, people would be astonished that you would actually say such a thing. It would be so ridiculous. And people, regular people or smart people, would think, how could anybody believe this? So these simpletons are saying things that the Chachamim, that they believe the Chachamim mean, and sometimes it could even appear to be ridiculous, that other people would say, what are you talking about? O sheya amin shehi amuna nechona, or how could you possibly believe that that is an accurate belief or faith? Kal v'chomer sheyitav ve'inav, and how could you believe that this is something good? V'zuhakas anias hadas. So the Rambam says this group of people, they are of a very poor level of intelligence. Aniye hadas. Yesh lehitzta'er aleihem lesichlusam. You have to feel bad for them and their foolishness. So these would be very uneducated people, people who never had the opportunity to probably go to school, and they think about the world in a very, very simplistic fashion. Lefi sheheim mechabdim umenasim hachachamim kefidaita. Because according to their point of view, they think that they are honoring the Chachamim. Because they're saying every single word the Chachamim said is true, which it is, right? That's true. And it means exactly what it says. So they believe they're showing honor to the Chachamim. V'heim mashpilim osam. The Rambam says, no, they are diminishing the Chachamim. B'tachlis hashiflus. In a very strong manner of diminishment. V'heim eina mevinim zeh. And they don't understand that they're doing this. They think they're showing honor to the Chachamim, but they're really disparaging the Chachamim by attaching such simple and ridiculous ideas to the words of Chazal because they don't really understand the words of Chazal. Rebbetzin, yeah, please.
I think I appreciate that, but there are a lot of things in the Torah itself that are quite impossible that we're conditioned, educated, to believe that people would say it's impossible. Some of the Makos, certainly, Kriyas Yam Tzuv, Sarah Maimon having baby at 90.
Right.
So, you know, that's a difficult distinction to make.
Right. So Robinson's asking, there are a lot of things in the Torah that would appear to be not to make sense, like the 10 plagues in Mitzrayim, that Sarah had a baby when she was 90. So those were miracles. When we're told that there's a miracle happening and Hashem is doing nisim, beniflo'os, and movsim, then those are miracles, and then we understand them to be miracles. When Hashem tells Sarah Imein that she's going to have the baby through Avraham Avinu, and she does, that's a miracle. Hashem changed her actual teva. But when we're not informed that this is a miracle, then, like for example, I just take that one midrash I said about the Chacham, the Avram Avinu took his gem and hung it up on the sun. So we're not told that there was such a miracle that Avram Avinu did that. But it's meant to be a statement that's an idea, that's a concept. It's meant to be a statement that has deeper meaning. So miracles, yes. And it's a really important distinction that the Rebbetzin is bringing up here, because we do believe in miracles. But we have to be informed of the fact that they are miracles. When Yeshua stopped the sun in the sky, that's exactly what he did. The sun stopped. It's mamash anes. But the Navi says that. But when we're weaving our way through the agadata of the Chachamim and they're using very unusual language to describe something, then we understand that's not anes. That's, I'm going to say, symbolic language, not in the sense that it symbolizes something, but I use a different word. It represents a deeper truth. The words are always true, but they represent a deeper truth. So it's true that Avraham Avinu hung up a gem on the sun. But what does that mean, that he did that? So anes is one thing, but the words of the Agadata are another thing. Does that help that?
Yeah, and I also want to know, I don't know if it's around them, difficult opinions, that some of the stories in the Torah itself are not real characters, but lessons.
Yes, that's not Bikursis.
That's what I thought.
That's not Bikursis.
Are there any great people
that
we just don't question if they're so great?
No, the idea that some people say that stories in the Torah are not true, but they're just symbolic, that's literally apikorsis. Now we may not understand exactly what occurred. The Ramban says that the first section of Bereishis is beyond our comprehension completely. We don't understand it. But whatever happened between Adam and Chava and Gan Eden and the Eitz Hadas, that's absolutely true. It did happen. What it means that they ate from the Eitz Hadas, well, that's very hard to know what it actually means, but they did. And all those stories that are in there are meant to be real life lessons based on real life incidents that occurred. So we would never say that a story in the Torah is symbolic. It's actual, it happened, and it has infinite meanings in addition to what actually happened in the physical world. Now, maybe what you're thinking about is there's a Rambam that we're learning now, which the Ramban disagrees with strongly. The Rambam says that when the Malachim came to visit Avraham Avinu, the three Malachim, he says that whole thing was a Nevuah. That whole thing was prophecy. Now the Ramban has a series of questions on him as to how that's not the case. And nonetheless, the Rambam says that was prophecy. But that still doesn't mean it's a symbolic story that didn't really happen. It means this was a Nevuah. This was a Nevuah, according to the Rambam, that happened. So you have that a few times with the Rambam in the Torah. But nonetheless, no matter how you cut it, all those stories are absolutely true. And never meant to be fables, you know, or something like lessons, stories that are lessons. Now you have that across the centuries on secular scholars, and nowadays even some scholars that are not secular who are portraying the stories of the Torah as just lessons, but not real. Yeah, so that would be apikorsis. Yeah. Elka, please. Yeah.
I understand if something is innate, so we're told that.
Right.
What about the one, like, wasn't Og a giant? Was he not, or was he? Does it say that in Israel? That's one thing. And yet, that people were living thousands of years in Bereshis. Did they or not?
Yeah, so Og was a giant. But the Torah tells you how big his bed was. You know, and it's not, you know, 10,000 amos high. It's big. What was it? I forgot what it was. Eris. Was it 8 amos? I forgot. Maybe he's 20 feet tall, whatever it was. He's tall, but he's not, you know, thousands of amos tall. What was the other thing that you said? Yeah, so that was the teva of people at that time. That was human nature at that time. For us, yeah. But that's literal. So those are the words of the Torah. And the words of the Torah are meant to be understood through Torah Sheba Al Peh, of course, as they are. If we were told by Torah Sheba Al Peh that Adam didn't really live 930 years, it just is a message, that Mr. Shalach didn't live 969 years, it's just a concept. If we were told that by the Chachamim, then okay, then that's what we would believe. But we're not. There's no Torah Sheba Al Peh that redefines those very long lifespans. They're meant to be literal. So people were different. Life was different, pre-Mabul, you know, different period of time. One of the Mephoreshim says that there was nothing destructive in the air and in qualities of the world, nothing degrading a human being. Everything was pure. So nothing wore a person down the way that it did later in history. So looking at it in a more scientific way, you could say. So we have to look at the Torah Sheva Al Peh and see, is this defined literally by the Torah Sheva Al Peh? Or does the Torah Sheva Al Peh shed different light on the situation? And yes, we would always follow the words of the Torah Sheva Al Peh based on how it describes something.
Over
the written word.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So one of the great examples, Sirah Sa'omer, U'sefartem lochem mimocharas ha-Shabbos. You should start counting the Omer the day after Shabbos. That's what it says in the Torah. Well, we don't. We start it the day after Yom Tov. The second night of Pesach is when Sirah Sa'omer starts. The Torah says Shabbos. So what does that mean? The Torah Sheva Al Peh tells us that Shabbos there means Pesach. It means Yom Tov. So we, of course, will follow the Torah Sheva Al Peh. The Tzedukim didn't. You know, they would have followed the Torah Sheva Yisa. They didn't believe in Torah Sheva Al Peh. So when the Torah Sheva Al Peh defines something for us, which is different than the Pshat in the Torah Sheva Yisav, we go with the Torah Sheva Al Peh. That's how our belief in Torah works.
What, yeah.
Chachamim. The words of the Chachamim. Right. The words of the Chachami, right? Through the Chachmei HaMishnah and Chachmei HaGemara, right? That's the authentic Mesorah of Torah Sheva Al Peh. And we have many instances that the Torah Sheva Al Peh tells us that this does not sound like what it means. Tefillin, Vayilu Totofos, Bein Einecha. They'll be as Totofos, between your eyes. Nobody wears tefillin over here, between their eyes. It says between your eyes. The Chachami say no, it means up here. Between your eyes, up here. So how do we know that from Torah Sheva Al Peh? The Tzedukim would wear their tefillin between their eyes because they didn't believe in Torah Sheva Al Peh. So same thing for those Tzedukim that you mentioned about the ages, the lifespan of those people, that's never redefined by Torah Sheva Al Peh as meaning anything else other than literal, so it's literal. Yeah. Yeah, please, Dory.
Oh, I heard in a
shir,
and please. Very reliable
person. Please, yeah.
He was saying, you know, Torah has different levels, and there's a level of soul that's very pitched. And he said that if you don't understand the level of soul, you're not really going to understand the Pshat level. Is that, how do we understand how you can understand Torah? I mean, I understand what we're, you know.
I don't know what that person meant, you know. Maybe they were saying that you don't understand Pshat in its ultimate meaning, maybe something like that. But in general, we don't say that you have to know Sod in order to understand Pshat. No, we would not say that as a general rule. Pshat of the Torah is meant to be the Pshat, again, authentic Pshat, based on what the Torah Sheva Al Peh says it really means. But otherwise, as you said, we would all not be understanding Torah, even one little word of it, because we don't know Sod.
Right.
So on an ultimate level, like, yes, the people who, the Arizal, the Baal Shem Tov, the Gaon of Vilna, they understood the Pshat in its highest form because they knew the Sod. But that doesn't mean that we don't understand the Pshat on our level. We do understand it on our level. That's how I would see it. Yes, unless we were informed by the Chachamim that it didn't really mean that. But we don't have that. Yocheved gave birth at 130. Some of this forum asked the question, how come it's not made such a big deal, right? Sarah Imenu gives birth at 90 and it's a nace, like an unbelievable nace. Yocheved gives birth at 130 and it's not even mentioned, barely mentioned. So I forgot, I saw this year, but somebody said once the miracle happens, that type of miracle happens, then when it happens again, it's not as sensational. Even though 90 to 130 is another 40 years. But it already happened, so it's just not the same level of sensational because it occurred once.
She was the first.
She was the first, right. Yeah, Mrs. Schumann, please.
I'm not quite clear.
Please.
What is the Agada portion, let's say in the Gemara,
right,
or in general? Who wrote it, and what validity does it have as compared to the Torah Sheva
Al Peh? It is Torah Sheva Al Peh. So the Chachamim themselves were the authors of the words of Agada. It's in the Gemara itself. So the Gemara has like extensive, you know, halachic arguments and back and forth and analysis and comparisons. Then all of a sudden you're in the midst of a story, like almost out of nowhere sometimes. And then the Gemara goes on for 2-3 pages with different connections to that story and very unusual things that they describe. That's Agadita. So it could be a story. It could be a story meaning a story that has deeper meaning to it. And it could also be a like an example of something. And the Chachamim will use unusual words to describe a situation. So that's the Agadita part. It's right smack in the Gemara, just like the laws of Shabbos and Brachos and Yom Tov. It's the same Chachamim. And it's very similar to Midrash. So we know the Midrash Rabbah, the Midrash Tanchuma, also written by the same Chachamim. So this is authentic Torah Sheva Al Peh that our Chachamim wrote down in the Gemara, in the Talmud.
When do they, you have to realize when the Chachamim are not being literal and
Yes. Yes. Now, in a halachic argument, it's always literal. You know, so it's just in very, very intensive, you know, reasoning and logic and comparisons. But we're not allowed to say in a halachic argument, oh, that's, you know, that's agadata. You're not allowed to say that. It's halacha. You got to prove it with logic. Logic carries the day. The logic of the Gemara. But you can tell. Pardon me?
You have to know when you're coming to a portion of
that. And you can tell. You can tell because it's clearly different. The language is different. The example is different. You're not having the same discussion, you know, as you were having in the previous paragraph. You see the Gemara switches gears. Even though sometimes it does so very suddenly, but you see what's happening. But it's the exact same people. It's the same Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Gamliel. It's the exact same people who wrote the halachic part of the Gemara who did the agadic part of the Gemara as well. Yeah. Yeah, please, Linda. Yeah. Exactly. The Ramchal says that, and the Gaon of Vilna says that the Chachamim concealed Sodos HaTorah in the Agadita. They hid the secrets of Torah in the Agadita. So very similar to authentic Hasidisha stories about Tzadikim, and they were hiding deeper ideas within simple stories or unusual stories. So the Chachamim did that as well. They told a story or gave a certain message, and within that message they hid very deep secrets because they wanted to hide it. They didn't want to give that information over on the silver platter. So when you come across a piece of Agadita in the Gemara, the few basic places people look, one of the great commentaries on the Gemara is the Maharsha, who lived in the 1600s. So the Maharsha is printed in back of all the Gemaras. And he, in addition to his Talmudic commentary on the Gemara, he also has an entire commentary on the Agadita. So the Chidushe Agados of the Maharsha is one of the first places someone will turn when they come to a piece of Agadita and say, what does that mean? So they look in the Maharsha to see how he comments on it. The other important source is the Ein Yaakov. The Ein Yaakov extracted all of the Agadita that's in the Talmud, and they printed the Agadita separately in four volumes called the Ein Yaakov, and there are very many different commentaries on that page, the Etz Yosef, the Ein Yaakov, the Iyun Yaakov, and they're explaining the Agadita. So there are sources to turn to when you come to a piece of Agadita and you want to try and understand it better. There are Meforshe Agadita that help us out. Without them, our eyes are closed. You really can't understand what it's saying. You need the Maharsha and the Ein Yaakov to just understand. The Maharal also wrote Chidushei Agados. We don't have it on all of Shas, but another place people turn to a lot. Was your hand up, Elgi? Yeah, please. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to know. You have to have an authentic source. You know, where you're hearing the story from. Was there a Masorah in the story? You know, it's hard to know. So, and sometimes you hear the same story from a different tzaddik. You know, even in the Lithuanian world, you can hear the same story from a different gadol, gets passed down. But the message gets across, right? You can still see, like, 'cause something happened here. I'm not sure if it was this person or this person, but something happened. So it's like they say, and Rabbi Abraham Twersky writes that if you believe everything, all the stories, you're a fool. If you believe none of them, you're an apikoros, right? Okay. So somewhere in the middle there. Yeah. Was your hand up before? Okay. Okay, so now we're going to go a little further into that. Thank you for bringing that out. There's a lot of important clarifications that we had with this. So now we're four lines up from the bottom on Kuf Yud Ches. V'chai Hashem Yisporach. And he says, and by the life of the by the living God, by Hashem. That's the, one of the ways the Rambam wants to say something with a lot of emphasis. By the living God, Chai Hashem Yisborach. Ki hakas hazos, this group, ma'abdim hadras ha-Torah u'ma'apilim zahara. They're ruining the glory of Torah and they're darkening its radiance. Is that strong, Lashon? They're ruining the glory of Torah and they're darkening its radiance. U'misimim Torah Hashem behefech ha-mechuvan ba, and they are casting the Torah in a light the opposite of what it was meant to be. Lefi shehashem yisporach omar ba-Torah ha-tamima. Now he's going to quote a pasuk. Hashem says in the Torah ha-tamima, the pure and complete perfect Torah, it's talking about the wisdom of Torah, chachmaschem u'binaschem. And it says, this is a quote from the Torah, Asher yishma'u neskol hachukim ho'eila, that the nations of the world will hear these laws of the Torah va'amru, and they will say, Rak am chacham, the navon hagoy hagodol hazeh. This is a wise and understanding great people. So the nations of the world will hear the wisdom of the Torah, and they'll say, what a great people the Jewish people are. Like anybody who met the Rambam, I'm sure felt that way. What an unbelievable person. So much wisdom. V'akas hazos misaprim mipshate divrei hachachamim zichronim livracha. But this group of people who cannot get away from the face value of the words of chachamim, shekisheshomim osam sha'ar umos omrim, and when the other nations of the world hear what these people have to say. Now the Rambam rearranges the quote from the Torah, and this is what they're going to say: Rak am sochol v'novol hagoy hakaton hazeh. How foolish and lowly is this little tiny nation? Right. So, by casting the words of the Chachamim into the context of their very, very small comprehension, it makes the Torah look small. And the Rambam says, therefore, that really ruins the glory of the Torah. V'rov ma sha'osin eila ha-darshanim. Now he goes on to their preachers. They had preachers. They taught these things. Shehim meforshin umodin lahamon ha'am ma she'enam yodin. These preachers and teachers, they teach the people what they themselves don't even know. Umi iten, he says, and halavai, achar shelo yadu velo hevinu, being that the teachers themselves don't understand what they're saying, shehayu shoskin, they should just be quiet. Why are you teaching these things that are sheker? Kemo she'amar, as it says in the Navi, in Iyov, mi iten hacharesh tacharishun, Usihi lachem lachachma. Halavai, that you would be quiet and then at least you would appear wise. O shahayu omrim. Or they could say, their teachers and preachers, Ein anu mevinim kavanos hachachamim bezeh ha-ma'amar. Okay, they could say, we don't understand the words of the chachamim. Perfect, that's what you should say. Velo heyach yisparesh, and we don't understand how to explain it. We don't understand what it means that Avram Avinu took this gem and put it on the sun. Okay, that's fair, that's honest. But you don't understand that. Just say you don't understand it. Avohem mechashvim shehem mevinim oso. But they think that they do understand the words of the Chachamim. U'mishtadlim lehodia u'lefaresh la'am ma shehevinu hem atzman kefi da'atam hachalusha. And they, the teachers, endeavor to teach to the people that which they themselves understand in such a weak and feeble way. Lo ma'asha amru chachamim, not the true intent of the chachamim. V'dorshin bereshei ha'am, and they give big drashos to a lot of people, drashos masechos brachos uperek chelek, and they darshan from the Talmud brachos, where there's a lot of agadata in brachos, and perek chelek, where there's a lot of agadata. the Zulasan al Pishatan and other sources, and they speak about them only according to their literal meaning, mila b'mila, word for word. Okay, so now the Rambam is done slicing up that particular group and their scholars. So he doesn't want us to take the words of the Chachamim that are meant to be not literal and to take them as literal. And of course, as it's come out by some of your questions, where the Chachamim are having a literal halachic Talmudic argument, then we have to stay literal. We can't say, oh, when they said that a sukkah has to be at a minimum 10 tefachim high, it doesn't really mean that. It means it's a concept. It doesn't really mean that. No, it means 10 tefachim. It means mamish 10 tefachim. When they said that you have to shake a little of an esrog, then an esrog is an esrog, a citron fruit, it doesn't really mean that. As long as it's yellow and looks nice, like a lemon and smells good, that's fine. It's a symbolic thing. Chas v'shalom. So we would never say that about halachic Talmudic statements from the Chachamim. But we have to have that approach when it comes to the words of the Agadita. One thing that makes it a little more difficult, which you also brought out, is some of the unusual stories are actually true, the way that they sound. That kind of what Elka said, some of the stories that sound kind of strange, they are true. But you have to have guidance from the Mefarshim as to which one is meant to be literal and which one is not meant to be literal. Similar when you learn Midrash. You have to do so with Mefarshim to see what's really going on here. Was that a hand up, Professor? No? Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Question? Yes, Debbie, please.
Simplified it, mm-hmm. and you brought Midos out in it, and things that we could learn from it. And then later came these books that are fantastic. You can open it, you can read it. Now I found some of the newer books have very bizarre midrashim that so not necessary. Like I actually bought a whole series for my grandchildren. And then now that I'm reading them sometimes with them, I go, okay, this is not this is so not necessary because there's so much in the psukim, and then if you need to add a medrash to understand it, so there's so much, and then they have some extra stories they throw in that are just like, the kids go, is that really true?
Right.
Bobby, and then you're like, that's so not necessary.
Right.
You can make the same colorful page, you didn't have mm-hmm. to go that far.
Right.
To make it extreme that you know it's not something literal.
Right, and you can't even relate to it.
You can't relate
right,
to it.
Right,
exactly.
Which is important. Because some of these words, some of these midrashim that the Rambam would be referring to here, you can't relate to them. They're just simply outside the bounds of reality as we know it. But that's how they're meant to be. They're meant to be written in this way because, as Linda was pointing out before, that the Chachamim are concealing deeper things in unusual stories. That's their intent when they do that. Okay, now we'll see the second group, Bakas Hashniyot. Bakas Hashniyot Heim Rabim Gam Kein. The second group also, he says, a lot of people in the second group. V'heim Osam Shara'u Divrei Chachamim. Once again, they saw the words of the Chachamim. We're talking about the Midrashic, Agadic words of the Chazal. Oshamum, or they heard them. Vehevinu osam apshutam, and once again, they are taking them at face value. V'chashvu shelo kivnu chachamim bo, zulasi masha mora olav pishad hadover. And like the first group, they also say that the chachamim are speaking literally, and their words are meant to be understood literally. However, v'heim bo'im l'sakil osam uleganosam. But they're coming to deride the Chachamim and make them look foolish. Oh, look what they said. He hung up a gem on the sun. What foolish words, right? So the first group is not doing that. The first group has very strong emunas Chachamim. And they believe every single word, just that they don't understand what they're saying. The second group says, this is what they said, this is what they meant, and how foolish those Chachamim are. Umotziin diba amashein bo diba, and they slander the chachamim about things that are not worthy of being slandered. V'yal igu al divrei chachamim l'ragaim, and they even mock the words of the sages. The sovrim shehem nevonim yoser, they believe they're much smarter than the chachamim. V'shesichlam yoser zach mehem, and that they have a much higher intelligence than the chachamim. V'shehem aleihem hashalom niftim guim haseichel, that the chachamim were just simpletons, or they have deficient minds. Sucholim bichlal hametziyus, they don't really understand the universe and reality. Otherwise, why would they have said such things? Ad shelo hayu masigim devar chachma bishum panim, and they don't understand true wisdom. V'rov hanisholim b'zeh hashibush, and the Rambam says, in his time, most of the people who are making this very serious mistake and distortion, hamisyachasim l'chachmas harefua, they are people involved in the profession of medicine, the doctors in the times of the Rambam. Umabilim b'gezeras ha'kochavim, and they are very involved in astrology. So the medical people and the astrologers who were educated people, they're the ones who thought that they're much smarter and more well-informed than the chacham. We do have some doctors like that nowadays too. But Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of really good doctors as well, who are humble people.
Right. True,
right. It's the arrogance of science or philosophy. Yeah, exactly. Lefi shehem b'machshav asam nivonim, because in their own mind they think they're very smart, like we say, a legend in his own mind. Right. The chachamim be'enehem, they in their own eyes they're very smart. U'mechudadim u'philosophim, and they're very sharp in their mind, and they think they're very philosophical. V'kamohim ruchokim min ha'anoshus. Eitzel osam shehem chachamim ufilosofim alemes. But how distant they are in humanity from those who are true chachamim, meaning our chazal, and true philosophers, meaning in this sense to chachamim. Avolhem sucholim yoser min hakas harishona v'harbe mehem pisayus. Now the Rambam says this second group, they're bigger fools than the first group. So they're highly educated people, and they're full of arrogance, and they're really much more foolish than the first group, who are not educated people at all, the first group. It's like when I read an article in the newspaper sometimes or online about some of that radical view about Israel and the Palestinians, and they completely flip everything over. And Israel is the aggressor, and the Palestinian, the poor Palestinian murderers, you know. So I call them intellectual fools. They're very smart people. They write good articles. I rarely read them because I get so mad when I read them. But when I do read it, I thought, that's an intellectual fool. They went to Harvard, you know, and they write good writing, but they're fools. So similarly, this second category, they're so full of themselves that they're bigger fools than the first category. Vihi, kas arura. This is a cursed group. Lefi shehem mishivim al anashim gedolim unisiim, because they criticize great people and princes, meaning the chazal, asher nisbarura chachmasam lechachamim, whose wisdom is truly known to those who are truly wise. Ve'ilah hapisoim, and these foolish people, if they were to truly work hard in wisdom authentically, if they would work hard at trying to understand how to write down things that are deep, godly wisdom, and how do you write down an idea which is very, very deep, Eitzel hahamon ve'eitzel hachachamim, and present that same idea to the masses and to the wise, educated people. V'yavinu hachela kama'asi min hafilosofia, so that you could bring out something practical and something philosophical simultaneously, how to choose your language in such a way where you're writing exactly what you want to write. If they truly understood the craft of Chazal and the way they chose to write and why they wrote in such a way, if they truly tried to work on that and understand it, then they would see whether are chachamim or not. And it would be clear to them what they were trying to do. But they're too full of arrogance to try and figure that out. They won't be moda that there's something more. So they take the words of Chazal, the Midrashic, Agadic words, at face value, and then they criticize them and they make them look foolish because they don't realize or they don't want to realize that the Chachamim are speaking very deep things within the language that they're using. And if they put forth the effort to try and understand that, the Rambam says, they could realize that if they wanted to. Yeah, Linda, please.
I don't mean to get you off topic.
Please.
And I apologize if you said this before I came in. But the gem,
oh, I was just referring to when I brought an example of a midrash, which cannot be taken literally, is Avram Avinu had a gem around his neck, and when he died, he hung it up on the sun. Do I know what that actually means? The different understanding? What that means? Some say it's talking about tefillah, the gem right by his throat.
So it's
understanding, you know. Now what does it mean hanging it up on the sun? Appreciation of that Hashem brings the sun into the world each day. That's one way to understand Godless Habore, is by looking at the universe. So that same glorious praise that Avram Avinu had at his throat, by his neck, which only he was capable of, so now he put it on the sun and was saying to people, look at the universe and praise Hashem. And so that's one way to look at that. That's a concept. That's an idea. There are many ways to look at that.
I'd love to look it up.
It is beautiful.
Where
I just saw it a couple months ago. Maybe I could relocate where
that
I saw
would be
it.
Awesome. Also,
yeah. Yeah.
Does the word Arura, where you said it means curse,
yeah.
does that relate to Aurora?
To Aurora? Not as far as I know. I don't think so. It's Arur, like Arur Haman, you know. But I don't think that one has to do with light.
Yeah.
Arur, yeah, it's a different word, yeah.
Scary word.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Elka, please, yeah. Right. So the first group are definitely observant people. They're simpletons. They are keeping the Torah as they understand it to be. The second group, I can't tell. Because if they're disparaging the words of the Chachamim, I wouldn't be surprised if they therefore let it affect their behavior. Now remember, there was no such thing in the Rambam's time, but there were Karoim. There were Karaites in the Rambam's time. And the Karaites were very powerful in Jewish history for quite a while. So they only believed in Torah Shabbisah. They did not believe in Torah Shabbatel, like the Tzedukim earlier, 1,000 years earlier. So possibly he's referring to them, but I don't know because he doesn't say. Yeah. Have a great day, everybody. Great week. Good Shabbat. Good to see you.